Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
This week, the US lifted the Europe travel ban, and we've been hearing stories of Irish people in the United States now finally planning a much longed for trip home. And one such woman is New York based Shona Conair, who's had a particularly busy pandemic, having landed a job with George and Amal Clooney's Foundation for Justice. And Shona joins me now. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks a million, Claire. Lovely to be here.
So you must be delighted, first of all, that the travel restrictions are about to change.
Absolutely delighted. I can't tell you the kind of weight that's been lifted off our shoulders. And to be honest, anybody like that over here who hasn't seen family in quite some time now. So yeah, we're really, really thrilled.
You did get home though, didn't you, in 2020?
Yes, we were one of the lucky ones. We travelled in the summer of 2020. We did our 2 weeks quarantine up in Donegal, where my husband is from. And yeah, so that's the last time we saw our parents. It was for my little son's first birthday, I think it was, back then.
And since then, you've had another baby.
I've been very busy, Claire, yes. I have a little five-month-old as well, and then our other little boy, Guy, has just turned two. So it has been rather hectic, to say the very least, but fun.
But it's particularly tough when people can't travel, both your family, you know, not being able to go over there, you're not able to come home to, you know, show off your lovely new baby. It's very, very tricky, isn't it?
It has been tricky. I mean, I don't want to, you know, we're absolutely not the worst off by any stretch of the imagination. So you know, we've remained healthy throughout this whole thing. But of course, we're human. We miss our family, you know, miss not seeing the parents, my parents from Longford or my in-laws up in Donegal. And, you know, it's been difficult in that sense. And childcare, like most parents I know, keeps falling through. So, you know, when these things happen last minute, you're like, oh, wouldn't it just be great if I could call the folks down in Longford and pick a pop up and mind the kids for a day rather than calling in to work and telling them again that we've no childcare. But look, it's been difficult, but we're super excited about seeing them all very soon, hopefully.
Well, listen, everyone has similar stresses the world over, don't they, when it comes to childcare and work and all the rest of it. And when we heard that you had been hired by Amal and George Clooney, we were all, ooh, swoo, very showbiz. But actually, the job isn't showbiz at all. It's nothing really to do with Hollywood. Will you explain to people, Shona, what the new job is about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Don't think glamour, I would say, for sure. It's and that's not really what I'm into either, to be fair. So I am a journalist, an investigative journalist and filmmaker, and this opportunity came along and very much the part of the role that really inspired me, I guess, to go for it was the fact that we'd really very much be creating impact, or at least trying to. And they have two initiatives. One is called Trial Watch, and we're in courtrooms all around the world monitoring trials of kind of vulnerable people like journalists, like LGBTQ plus persons, like women, human rights defenders, what have you. We're in various places like, just Monday gone by, we've been monitoring the trial of the Hotel Rwanda figure, Paul Rusesabagina, who's just been handed a 25-year sentence. So that's pretty brutal. But, you know, we were, you know, in the courtroom monitoring proceedings there, and I've written a report to show that, I mean, our legal expert has said it was a show trial. So that work feels very important, especially these days where we feel like, you know, certain governments, authorities are using courtrooms as a means to kind of quash freedom of expression and quash rights. And, you know, all courtrooms, of course, have this veneer of legitimacy. So we're trying to kind of pull back the curtain on that. And then another project or initiative within is called The Docket, and we're pursuing war criminals and you know, in doing investigations in the Middle East, looking at the looting of antiquities by ISIS, and really, really quite exciting and quite important projects like that. So definitely not glamorous, but very fun and kind of very in the same vein as the work I used to do at Channel 4 and the Financial Times.
And the Clooney's interest in all of this, does this stem from Amal Clooney's work as a lawyer?
Both, I would say. You know, of course, Amal is an incredible lawyer, but George Clooney also founded the Century as well, an investigative body. So they're both deeply passionate about what they do. I would say, you know, I think I have a call with them. I'll just look at my calendar now. It's at 10 o'clock this morning. You know, they're both deeply involved in this work. It's not, you know, emails every day, you know, as I said, jumping on a video call. Yeah, at 10 o'clock in the next few hours. So they're very very much involved in this. And
see, that's interesting to hear, though, because with a lot of these things, you imagine, Seana, that people will put their name to it and throw a bit of cash at it and expect people like you to get on with the work. But that doesn't seem to be what's happening here.
Absolutely not what's happening here. Absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, they were very involved in the hiring process as well. My last interview, there were several interviews for the job, and my last interview was a video interview, of course, because of COVID, with both of them. I think I'd just given birth 10 days before that, so I was sitting on cushions and trying desperately not to fall asleep at the desk, and I just shoved my husband out the door with two babies having just breastfed. So yeah, they're very much involved.
I have to stop it. Interviews are scary enough, but George Clooney and Amal sitting there and you're whooshing your children out the door, I don't know if I could cope.
I know, it was all a bit surreal, but actually the benefits of that situation was that there was no time to get nervous or scared to kind of think about what was actually happening. I genuinely, it was Good Friday, so, you know, again, no daycare. So my lovely husband, Dinny, went out with the double kind of stroller with our two little boys, and kind of I expressed some milk as well, just in case of an emergency or the call went over. You know how it is, Claire, as a mum, and I know we've chatted about this before. But it was surreal, but also fun. And I remember George just saying, "Oh yeah, you know, that sleep deprivation is awful." And I was like, "Yeah, no, it's grand. Like, don't worry about it. I'll be fine." And you know, I'm sure I probably like 2 hours sleep.
Well, they'd know all about it. They had twins, didn't they?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You worked, you said, as a journalist before, and people would be familiar with your work, I'm sure. This is quite different, though, isn't it?
It is quite different. But I think, you know, my work as a journalist, I was always rather obsessed with trying to create some type of impact off the back of documentaries we were making. You know, I never thought it was enough for films or, you know, our reports to just air on television. And, you know, you see people being up in arms on Twitter and on social media, and there's all this kind of momentum and this will to change the situation or to question power or to hold people to account. And it always really bothered me that, you know, the kind of momentum just faded then after a show aired, you know, and that's kind of what this role is about. It's this opportunity to actually try and create change in some way and do something rather different. And of course, you know, interestingly, well, you know this, Claire, I had a podcast called Media Tribe, which I feel like this is payback now that I'm on your show. I had you were my last guest, actually.
Oh, Claire. Was I? Okay.
Since I gave birth. Yeah.
It ended after me. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
No, ended on a high, I would say. And but one of my guests on the Media Tribe show was a wonderful journalist called Rana Ayub, who is an opinions writer, an Indian journalist at the Washington Post. And she essentially took over or you know, kind of took on that role around the time that Jamal Khashoggi was murdered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rana now is, as we know, under fire in India. And we have just, at the Clooney Foundation for Justice, started monitoring her trial. So that's been a kind of a bit of serendipity in terms of my old work and my new work crossing over. But it's, you know, we are representing journalists. We are trying to fight for freedom of expression and freedom of speech, things that I really, really care about and things that are really important today.
It's such a valid and interesting point, though, that as a journalist, you work on something, you put it out there, and then you have to move on. But your new role now, you don't have to move on.
Yeah, I really got to the point where I just thought it wasn't enough. I really, really felt like that. And, you know, Channel 4 especially, I would say I did have an opportunity to try and, you know, create impact where we could. I remember after a film on the Syrian border in Lebanon, where we were filming critically ill Syrian refugee children, you know, falling through the cracks, kids with cancer and dying, and nobody was really paying attention. Nobody was funding any of these illnesses that these kids were having. And I remember going into Parliament, I think it was the week I was getting married, and going into Parliament in the UK and really annoying Alf Dubs, who's a refugee child himself, and begging him to ask a question at Parliament, saying, you know, we've promised to help the most vulnerable. What's going on here? And anyway, I did enough annoying, and we made this little video about a gorgeous little 10-year-old Syrian refugee who tells me in a video he wants to move to Ireland, because with my terrible Arabic, I kept telling him how great Ireland was. And he showed me a picture of on the wall in his tent of a house. I thought it was in Syria. He tells me it's in Ireland. Then we created that video. It went viral. I woke up the next morning, there was a petition in Ireland to move this kid and his family to the motherland, because he had actually lost an eye in a rocket attack. He lost a brother who had been desperately ill, and eventually we got the move to Sweden. So that to me was like probably the best part of my career to date, you know, just that feeling that you're able to do something so small. I mean, you know, granted it was only for one family, so I don't want to overstate it as well, but you know, that was kind of probably the moment in my life where I was like, right, that's actually really what's important to me. So yeah, that's the plan anyway, here is to try and
that's what
create
led
some
you
type of impact.
What led you to that position? Exactly, it's about creating impact and changing. I mean, that's one child's life, but what a difference that's going to make to his life.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If somebody came along and said there's a job, a comms job in a bank, I probably would run the other way quite fast and would also be terrible at that job, might I add. So yeah, it is a unique role to be in, I think. And, you know, so I'm there 3 months, I think, and the team are fantastic. You know, it's a journalist's dream being on some of the calls, hearing what we're doing and everything. Some parts are quite clandestine and secretive so far. But, you know, I'm excited to work with colleagues and friends in the industry about, you know, our investigations and see where we can take them.
And listen, there's quite the powerful Irish posse over there now. Donny O'Sullivan, hero to many here of CNN, and Samantha Barry, of course, editor-in-chief at Glamour magazine. And you all hang out together a little bit, don't you?
We do, yes, we do. They're all legendary in their own right. I think I'm due to see them all on Friday, at least some of them. But yeah, everybody kind of has stuck together. You know, it's not just the journalists, it's great. You know, there's a bunch of Irish over here who haven't been able to see family because of the travel ban and because of visa restrictions and all this kind of thing. And yeah, we've all kind of helped each other out, I guess, but it gets to that point where everybody feels like family as opposed to just friends. When, you know, when none of us got home for Christmas last year, for example, so there was a lot of back and forth across Manhattan with strollers to see each other and dip into various Irish pubs along the way for a hot toddy.
Is the story shown about the gourmet chicken fillet roll party, is that true?
That's very true. My husband, as well as being a very, very good businessman, he runs his own company here called Uplisting, but he's also a really good chef, and he makes a classic Centra chicken fillet roll, and that was one that Samantha Barry insisted he made. And so we had, who was over here? Yeah, a bunch of us anyway. Donny, I think, was here. Must have been a couple of months ago now, but made the old Irish coleslaw as well to go into the fillet roll. He takes this situation very seriously, probably more serious than our jobs, I would say, Claire. So yeah, we haven't forgotten where we're from.
What's Irish coleslaw?
Well, you don't add the vinegar. It's critical.
It's mayonnaise and the veg.
It's just mayonnaise and the veggie. You laugh, Claire, but look, you know, come move over here. And these are the things that you miss.
Yes, you mourn it when you don't have it, right?
Exactly.
Well, listen, we wish you well. It was great to talk to you. And we look forward to having you back whenever you get the chance to travel back home, Shona. Good luck with the job.
Thanks so much, Claire. Lovely to chat.